Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
With in Mark chapter 10. So join with me here in verse 1 of chapter 10. We're going to read through this and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 19 and then we'll develop the message from there until we close in prayer. Notice it says, "Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them." Now, I've underlined that in my Bible because if Jesus teaches something, we want to pay attention. Jesus himself said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In John chapter 14, beginning verses 1 through 3, Jesus talked about a reality. The reality would be that he was going to leave this earth. Now, the way he would leave this earth is, we know according to Scripture, he would die upon the cross. They would place his body there in the grave, and he would rise from the dead to the living. And then eventually, 40 days after the resurrection, he would ascend into heaven. And there he sits, according to Scripture, at the right hand of God the Father. And we see in John chapter 14, as I mentioned, he said that I will go, but then I will come again, and I will take you to be where I am. How many believe that today? Now, we believe that because it's in Scripture. Someone that I love deeply this week, John Brown, experienced going to be with the Lord. He passed from this life to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And somehow he's up there asking Jesus prophecy questions. I just know he's up there doing that. You know, he's doing that. Great, great, great man. But John and I would talk about that. We went to Israel and he wanted to go to Israel, wasn't able to go the last time. And I said, "John, you got all these models. Why don't you sell a few of them?" And he said, "Yeah, I could do that." But it wasn't his timing. So now he's going to see it in a special way. He's going to do that. But today we stand upon the truth of Scripture. It makes a difference in our lives. We see that God said it. That's it. We believe it. Doesn't matter whether we agree with it or whatever it is, but God said it, so it is true. It is true. And so what we see here in Mark chapter 10 is very difficult in ways. And what I've been trying to do, and I mentioned 2 weeks ago, is establish and kind of approach this subject by going to what we see in Scripture and allowing Scripture to speak to us about God made them 2 weeks ago male. This week, God made them female. And then, Lord willing, we'll look at God made them husband and wife. And then God made them family. And we'll look at that and look at the truths that are in Scripture. And I believe by looking at the truths that are found in Scripture, then the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to us about the challenging issue that Jesus is confronted with here. Look at verse 2. "Notice the Pharisees, the religious leaders, came and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?'" Now notice it says testing him. They wanted to use this to trick him so they could have something against him and they could use and speak to the crowds and say, "Look what he believes." And then call him a false prophet or whatever it be. This is a very touchy issue. Today in our lives, it can influence. More than likely, most of us have been touched by that. My stepmother and my dad divorced. They were divorced for 20 years, came back together again, and I had the privilege of marrying them once again. And so it's touched my life, and I remember living through that and all that. So many others here today. But how do we handle this situation? How do we walk through? What does it mean, especially if you have been touched by it somehow in your life? And so Jesus simply comes back, and this is how we handle it. In verse 3, he answered and said, "What did Moses command you?" What he did is he went right back to Scripture. He didn't ask them their opinions in a true sense. He's asking them to point out what truth it is, because we're going to see he's going to go right to the Word of God. And he's going to answer this issue. So when anybody ever asks me this question about this sensitive topic, then I go immediately to Scripture. And let's say, let's fellowship over Scripture. I don't want to give you my opinion. I want the Holy Spirit to give you His opinion for your specific situation of life. And what does Scripture say? What did Moses command you? And then they said, Moses permitted a man to write, at verse 4, a certificate of divorce and dismiss her. So it appears that they went back to Deuteronomy 24. Don't know exactly what was in their mind. And there's that issue is addressed there in a kind of a different way. But he goes back, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and dismiss her. But then Jesus takes him into another level. And he says, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. It wasn't to be that before, because he's going to go back now to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, he creates chapter 1, chapter 2, we're going to see he creates man, creates woman there, and calls them together to be husband and wife, and everything's okay until we go to verse 1 of chapter 3 and go in there, and we see the fall of man, and that complicated everything. But in the beginning, it was meant to be this way. And so Jesus is not trying to condemn anybody, but he's trying to take everybody to the truth of Scripture so then each person that is affected by this issue can weigh in their hearts the truth of God, and as the Holy Spirit makes application to the Word of God into your hearts. It's a beautiful thing. It's the way that God does things. Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But look at verse 6. He says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. That's why we're studying male, so we know what it means to be a male, what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a father, and female. And that's why we're taking time to go through the Scripture, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a mom. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, excuse me, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Excuse me there. And so he simply goes right back and gives us Scripture. That's the authority that we go to. In this issue, that's what we go to. And so we have to be good Bereans. Remember the Bereans in Acts chapter 17? It says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures with openness of mind, searching out what would be true, and they stood upon that truth. It was important that they would do that. So they were commended for their openness of mind, but that they searched out the Scriptures to see what indeed was true. And that's what we must do with this subject. So Jesus goes back to Scripture and says, this was my intent. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And that's the intent that God has. But it gets complicated, again, because of Genesis, chapter 3. It gets complicated because they rebelled against God. And when they had children, those children passed on their rebellion. And when their children had children, then they rebelled against God. And all the way to who we are right here, I can stand before you and say, unfortunately, I've rebelled against God. I am not a perfect individual. You know that. It's real apparent, isn't it? Truly, you can see that. I do make mistakes. Sometimes I've done things in the past. I go, oh, I just regret that. Sometimes I just make mistakes and, oh, I've got to go and repent. And I try to do that. But we must fight back for Scripture. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In the house, his disciples asked him again about this same matter. And then in verse 11, Jesus said, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Now, they're hard words, especially what you've been through. If you've experienced a divorce, then you can, I'm not sure how this feels and going through here. And then maybe the enemy can try to attack and make you feel condemned and all that. That's not my purpose. And I don't believe that's God's purpose. Because he says there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 1 verse 9, or 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His word is there to cleanse us. Sometimes we make mistakes, and the Spirit wants to come in and help us to see that. But to know that there's cleansing If he reveals to us, if he reveals to us that we have erred, then we come, and if we've sinned, then we confess it to him, and then he ministers to our hearts. One should go into Scripture and see what the Lord would have in every single matter of life. Now go with me, Matthew chapter 19, please. Go back there and we'll see another picture of the same truth. But some things are added that are important for us to realize today as we continue to develop this subject. Verse 1 in Matthew chapter 19. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him and he healed them there. Now notice, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to them, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now notice in Matthew, there's some further information that's added that wasn't there in Mark. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? No, it's not, according to Scripture. Jesus answers this by saying to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. So we've heard that in Mark. It's amplified here in Matthew. And look at verse 7. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. From Genesis chapter 2, it was not so. It isn't what God intended for anyone. And consequences, as I said, came into the life of people because of Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They ate of that fruit, and sin entered into their lives. Consequences were there. Verse 9, he says, and I say to you, now here's some added information, different than Mark chapter 10. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, notice how they respond. If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. It truly is. They understood. It would be better not to marry than to violate or break what the Lord said. But there is problems in life at times. And we see that he opens up there in Scripture and says, here's a reason. I believe there's three reasons that are found in Scripture where divorce can be entered into in a godly manner. And we'll address that as we get into that. But join me now with Genesis chapter 2, as I want to now just develop, God made them female. Again, we did that 2 weeks ago. God made them male, emphasized what it truly means. And now we are looking, as we continue in this subject, what it means to be female. My hope is if we understand God's design for marriage, then we can truly understand when and why his design becomes broken. Thus, if we truly understand why the marriage relationship was broken, then we can have a better chance of healing the brokenness or not repeating the causes of that brokenness. That's the heart of why I'm spending so much time in doing this. It's very important. It's interesting, a man named Christian Bovey said this, next to God, we are indebted to women, first for life itself, and then for making it worth living. Amen, men? Is that true or not, guys? Let me read it again, give you an opportunity to respond. Next to God, we are indebted to women, first for life itself, and then for making it worth living. Yeah. Very true, very true. And I love what Oliver Wendell Holmes said. Man has his will, but woman has her way. Now, I'm expecting the women to go, amen. Truly. It's a wonderful relationship, it truly is. So let's just spend a little time developing, and pretty soon here we'll close with prayer. The first, and you'll see the note, you'll see the subjects on the screen there. You can look at them. It'll be on the website. You don't have to try to copy them down. You can go there if you want. But I just want to establish Eve became a female. She became a woman. She was created in the image of God. Join with me, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. The word there, man, would be mankind, in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Mankind was created after the image of God. In the image of God, he created him. Notice what he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth. He's speaking to both male and female. Verse 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb, both male and female, that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every creeping thing that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was what? Very good. Male and female, very, very good. And so God created Eve in the image of himself. And it's interesting, you'll see here in chapter 2, go to verse 22, we see that Eve was created equal with man. Very important to understand that. Right here in Scripture, when everything is perfect, Scripture reveals to us how blessed this marriage relationship was. In verse 18, we see here that it created them equal. Actually, verse 23, excuse me. It says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The very language that is presented there speaks of equality. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Adam was called Ish and woman was called Ish. Go to chapter 5, please, verses 1 and 2. Again, we see this truth presented. This is the book, verse 1, of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And notice verse 2, he created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And so we see equality. Keep your hand there in Genesis and go back to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3. Again, more insight now is given to us, this reality created equal with man, the woman was. In verse 26, Galatians chapter 3, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The word means all. All means male and female. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Adam's seed and heirs according to the promise. Go back to Genesis chapter 2 there. And we're seeing then equality in a good, healthy way. And we're going to develop that healthy way as we go through Scripture. And so the next thing that we see here, Eve was given purpose, she was given responsibility, she was given a warning just like Adam was, and she was given a covering to be there to be a blessing into her life. In Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 18, please. And it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Beautiful relationship was established here before sin in Genesis chapter 2. To be a helper comparable to him means to be a companion. How wonderful that is. It's a beautiful relationship. It means to be suitable. It means to be adapted. It means to be completing of. A woman completes us as men. Amen, men? Truly does that. My wife completes me in so many different ways. It means to respond to. It means to be equal to him and to be partners in that way. Look at verse 21 and 22 of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And he went, whoa, man, woman. And he was very excited about what he saw in that way. But he didn't see any division. He didn't see himself, I believe, as being above her, but there were responsibilities that she had, but responsibilities that he had. We believe, according to Scripture, the way that she responded in Genesis chapter 3, as she's dialoguing with the enemy, Eve was very aware of the warning. Don't eat of this fruit, for in the moment that you do, you shall surely die. And we see that. But God gave her a beautiful covering here we see in Genesis. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Keep your finger there in Genesis, but go to 1 Corinthians. Back in the New Testament there. Just to develop it a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, the weight of Scripture has to speak to us about these issues in these weeks that we're handling this issue of marriage and divorce. Again, what do we see? This covering that is very beautiful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul the Apostle says, I want you to know, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. You guys comfortable with that? We're comfortable. That's the safe place. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. And so we see how beautiful that is. Go down to verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. And so in the culture, we see a teaching that's here, but ultimately it's a spiritual endeavor, a reality that's being presented by Paul. Then it goes on in verse 8, it says, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. We just saw that in Genesis chapter 2. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Again, Genesis chapter 2 backs that up. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as the woman came from man, even so man also comes from the woman. But all things are from whom? God. It's all about God. He's the one that has designed us. This covering that we're speaking about here is to be understood as a symbol of authority, loving, caring authority that protects. It's an honor, is what God is saying in Scripture. It's a beautiful relationship. It is important to note that there is a proper godly balance between equality and subordination and vice versa. Now back to Genesis chapter 2 again. Join me back there. Sorry to go back and forth, but it's not that hard. Now, Eve became a female, a woman. Now we're looking at Eve became a wife. And we're going to see that on the screen here. Eve became a wife. And so we see in verse 24, if you go there, where she is called to leave. As the man is called, then in application the woman is too, because they're to set up a relationship. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I remember in this very gym where I stood down at that aisle there, and on my right arm I had my daughter, my only daughter, Kirsten. And I looked down that aisle and I saw John David, about as excited as a guy could be. And I thought, well, there's only so many feet between here and there. Maybe I could just divert out the door with her. No, I was excited. But I knew something that was very important. I knew as I walked her down that aisle that I was going to come to a point and Mike McIntosh was going to say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? I had a choice, but with pride in my heart, I said, her mother and I do. We had raised her to that point that we were going to release her, because now she was going to be called to cleave to the man that God had given her. And from that point forward, our relationship changed. There I was as a covering over her, and I still love her and do anything that I can, but I'm very respectful of the covering that her husband has in her life. We prayed before. We prayed for years. God, bring that godly man. We checked out John David left and right, up and down, everything, to make sure this is the guy that was called by God to be the husband of our daughter. And we are so blessed in that way. But we entered, and she entered into this position that she left us. Sometimes that can be hard. It really can. We were excited, but it was hard. But we respect that. We see that she's called to cleave and join to her husband. That means to cling to adhere to be glued to John David in that way. And we're called to do that too, as we're called into marriage. There in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we see again that God called her to become one flesh. Man and woman, one flesh. That speaks of unity, speaks of oneness, it speaks of dependency, teamwork, partnership. That's what the call is of God concerning marriage in that way. We see, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 now, please. You can leave Genesis chapter 2 behind and go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. If you can't find it, just remember God eats popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. God eats popcorn. So you can find it that way. Go, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul gives very specific instructions on what it is like to be in a godly relationship, what it means to be a godly husband, and what it means to be a godly wife. But notice he starts out in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Marriage is built upon a relationship with God between a man and a woman. And it's always to be that way. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. In the awesome respect of God, I am submitted to my wife. I understand the value that is there in that. I've learned it now for over 40 years of marriage. And I've been blessed by that. That call that's been in my life, but that call that's upon her life too. And it's very, very important that we see there. But it goes on, and there's further instruction. Look in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he, being Jesus, is the Savior of the body. Not man, but Christ is. Then verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. What are the next two words? In everything. Now, there's something that's very important we have to understand here. In verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In the original language, the Greek language here, the word for submit is the same in verse 22 as it is in verse 24. But we will note here in Scripture, there's a different translation given in Scripture, and I believe it's proper because of the context that it is found within in that verse. The first thing, he turns to the woman and says, submit to your own husbands, and he draws a line. There's a line drawn there. Because it says, as to the Lord. Again, using my wife as an example, if I want to go out this afternoon and I get goofy and say, let's go rob a bank together, what's she supposed to do? She says, no. And she'll be perfectly okay in the eyes of God. Because God wouldn't ask her to rob a bank. And so Scripture is full of things that she cannot do as an individual. You as a wife cannot do as an individual, and you should not yield to it if your husband asks you to do it. The trick is, and the important thing to do is study the Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. You study it, you memorize it, you read it, you get into the Word of God, because then that will guide you into the decisions you have to make. And so wives, submit to your own husbands, but it can only be as to the Lord. But again, look at verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Now it says, in everything. We're to submit only as in the Lord, but subject means to be subject to that man's lifestyle in everything that he does. If he is a godly man and he's going to stay in scriptures and he's going to be a man of prayer, then that's going to have a certain effect into your life. But if he wanders from the Lord and he goes down another path that's not healthy, that's going to have effect in your life. That's all that Paul's saying there. It's just everything will be affected by that person that you allow to become your spouse. And that's why when we have marriage counseling or somebody comes to us and gets asked to get married. Now, look at Ed. Ed, you wouldn't want to stand up, would you? That would be, why not? Look at, come here, turn around, Eddie, come on. Now, look at Ed. What do you guys think? Isn't not he handsome? Look at him. Yeah, yeah. That's what happens when you sit in the front row. He's a prize. He really is. I love this man. I've watched the change that God's done in his life and all that. And someday he may find that woman that looks at him and says, wow, is he going to draw me closer to Jesus? And what I know of this man right here, he's going to do that. And that's safe. That's a good thing. Amen? It really is. I mean, the sweater's a little bright, but that's okay. You what?
I'm a dark brother.
Yeah, yeah, you're a dark brother. No, don't give me that. We're Christians. We don't see color. Yeah. We don't see that. It's just precious, the relationship that God has. It's beautiful what he has, but it is very important that we understand it. Some important principles to remember so that there is a proper perspective to this issue we're going. Remember, according again to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submission is set within the general context of mutual fear of and obedience to the Lord. That is very, very important. You go out into the world, and if I taught this from the street, imagine if I was downtown, there was thousands of people, you know, and I sat there with my microphone and started teaching this about women submit. What would happen? I wouldn't be alive very long. And the reason is because Genesis chapter 2 is followed by Genesis chapter 3. God's intention is what we have to fight for, what we see in Scripture, and we go back, and it's amplified in the New Testament the way it is. And we can't do it on our own. We're going to talk about it in a moment, how we do it. But we can't, and the world is opposed to Scripture. It is anti-Christian. We think we're a Christian nation. Don't be fooled. We are no longer a Christian nation. And so the principles that are found in Scripture are counter to our nation, counter to our culture, counter to our society. We must understand that. There's a battle going on for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Amen? True? Truly is. And in this area of marriage, it's very important that today we understand as Christians and we move forward in the light of what truth is here, and we evaluate the past, whether it would be okay or there's some challenge there. We just evaluate it, not to be condemned, but if there's conviction, yes, but we handle it in the beauty and the strength of Scripture, how wonderful Scripture is. Submission is also framed in the reality that it is as unto the Lord. A woman can submit only as the Lord would require and as it is pleasing and proper in the sight of God. Our ultimate example to follow is none other than Jesus and his relationship with the Father. Submission does not mean inferiority. It never means that. In nature, there is equality, mentally, morally, and spiritually. But in office and work, there is submission in the spiritual realm. It's a beautiful relationship. It's a protecting relationship. It's beautiful. My wife protects me. She really does. She comes in and has been involved in my life. And one time I'm reflecting in my mind where she came to me and she said, honey, there's this person has interest in you. Oh, come on. Nobody would have an interest in me, you know? And she said, yes, there is. And I said, no way. And I remember resisting her. And I said, no way. But I was smart enough to listen and watch and observe. And there was somebody that had an inappropriate interest. And she warned me. And I stayed away as far as I could and prayed that God would handle that situation. Our wives are there, and we are to listen to them. There, and at the end of this chapter, look at verse 33, please. called to respect her husband. It's very important. Verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, speaking to us as men, let each one of you in particular so love," this is the third time that that is mentioned, "his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." I must challenge us this morning. Ladies, do you respect your husband? It's very important that you do. Because if you don't, it will tear him down quicker than anything else. If you do, it will lift him up and help him become all that he is to become, if he yields himself to the Lord. This word respect is developed in the Amplified Bible to mean this: she notices him, she regards him, she honors him, she prefers him, she esteems him. It seems impossible, doesn't it? And that she defers to him, she praises him, she loves him, and admires him exceedingly. It's a strong thing to respect, but I can take you to Scripture where we are to respect our wives. The same thing. Amen, men? Amen. It's a wonderful call. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're about to end it up here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Go there. When you're there, say there. You guys are quick. We saw, see in this wonderful call upon woman that God has placed, she is called to have an incorruptible beauty. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word," and that's possible, "they," the husbands that don't obey the word, "without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste or your pure conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. That doesn't mean you can't put makeup on, and really, you should, you know, if you want to. I should say if you want to, okay? I could get in trouble. I crossed over a line. That was dangerous right there, yeah. Woo! Woo, 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 woo. Am I red? Do whatever you want. Please, okay? But you can do that if you want. Peter's saying, you don't, let's move on. Verse 4. "Rather," notice, come on now, "rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner," verse 5, "in former times," he goes back, "the holy women who trusted in God," underline that, "also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. What a beautiful call. This incorruptible beauty. Chaste conduct speaks of purity and reverence and respectful attitude and honorable conduct. Inward beauty is presented here. Hidden inside of her, we have the secret person, the concealed person, the true person who is inside when they are alone with God. She's called to have a gentle spirit. That doesn't mean silent by any means. Not silent at all. But yet meek, not weak, humble, mild, not insisting on the letter of the law. Proverbs 25:15 says, "A gentle tongue breaks the bone." She's called to have a quiet spirit. That doesn't, again, mean she can't speak. It means a peaceable spirit, an undisturbed spirit, tranquil. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath." And so, just a real quick teaching on 1 Peter chapter 3 there. And then you'll see on the screen, called to love. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we won't go there. But it's amplified in 1 Corinthians, the love that men we're supposed to have to our wives, and here in our study, wives are supposed to have to their husbands. Notice, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast, it's not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Men and women today, if we love our spouses, if we love others that are in our life, will there be a different world that we live in? You bet. A wonderful thing. And we know that Eve became a mother, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll talk about that later. One might ask, how is it possible for anyone to fulfill all that is revealed in Scripture, these areas that we've studied? Well, left to oneself, it is impossible. But if a person walks in the Spirit, all things are possible with God. Amen? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and this is the last scripture. Galatians chapter 5. Back to the left a little bit. Remember, God eats popcorn. Galatians chapter 5. How do we fulfill all that we are to fulfill? Paul tells us in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And skip down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Think about this. All of this that can be in our marriage relationship and our relationships with other people as we walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If everybody in the world lived by this principle here, would this world be different? Amen, it would be. And it goes on, and Paul says in verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. A Sunday school teacher asked one little girl if she knew the story of Adam and Eve. And she replied, first God created Adam. Then he looked at him. God looked at Adam and said, I think I can do better. So he created girls. Isn't that wonderful? Created girls. You know, you've heard this one. Someone has said that God did not make the woman out of man's feet to be stepped on as an inferior, nor out of his head to be put on a pedestal as superior, but from his side, close to his heart, as an equal. She was to take her share of responsibility and to love him and be loved by him. Amen? Simple teaching. Very simple. Challenging because we live in a world that's dysfunctional. But by the Spirit of God, we can be victorious for God's glory. Amen? Let's stand together and let's pray. Father, thank you for the patience of my brothers and sisters. And we pray that your teaching has been pleasing to you. And now you, by your Spirit, would take it into our hearts, Lord. We want to stand upon the truth in Scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The intent of Scripture here is not to condemn, but it is to lift up. If there's conviction that's needed, that's good. But we go to the cross and we come to the foot and we sit there with you. Bless each and every person here, Lord. Encourage us this day in the truth of Scripture. And may we grow and grow and even grow more, that we might stand upon your word and that we will walk by the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.